Deuteronomy chapter 8. And in chapter 8, what we're going to be looking at now as we continue our study to Deuteronomy, we're going to see some of the exhortations given by Moses not to forget the Lord. Now, it's pretty easy sometimes for people to forget the Lord. And usually, when people begin to forget the Lord is when people begin to be blessed financially by the Lord. Other things begin to take place in my life, and other things that used to be important are not really important. And this is what God is going to speak through Moses to the people of God. Look at chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. He says, "Now every commandment which I command you today," and this is the secret here, obedience, "that you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers." You see, God is saying to the people of God, look, I've given you the land. All you have to do is just go and take it. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to defend you. I am going to protect you. All you have to do is just obey my voice and go and take possession of the land that God had given to them freely. There were giants in the land, but the land was full of milk and honey. And yet, as God is speaking to these people, sometimes the people of God were afraid. They would forget how God in the past had helped them and fought for them and had led them all through the wilderness. And so God is speaking to the heart of the people and saying, hey, don't be afraid, but be courageous, be obedient, and do what I tell you to do. And then look at verse 2, what he says here. This is now the purpose of God leading us and leading them. He says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way for 40 years in the wilderness." Now, many times in our pilgrimage, you know, through life, sometimes we don't understand until we get older, and maybe right before we die, I haven't got there yet, but, you know, whenever we get there, maybe we're going to be able to reflect, as I've heard other old people reflecting on their whole life, how God not only was there for them, but all of the things they went through, it was for this purpose. As they not only learned their lessons, but God ministered to their own needs. And here in verse 2 and 3, God sets up the order why you and I have to go through different situations, trials, temptations, things that we face in our own personal lives. Number one is because God wanted to humble you. God wanted to humble you. God doesn't want you to get a big fat head. But he wants you to understand and to recognize, hey, it's the Lord. And as you're going into the fire, like the three Hebrew children of Israel, hey, the Lord will be with you in the fire if you trust him, if you obey him. When they came out of the fire, they didn't even smell like the stench of the fire. They were perfectly clear. Nothing had happened to them. The king, you know, was totally blown away. He called them out of the fire and he said, hey, you know, you're not even burned. You don't even smell like smoke. What happened? He says, we threw three of you in and we saw four in the fire and one like the Son of God. And who is that? Jesus. In the fire with them. And as God was in the fire with them, he'll be with you. And as you're going into the fire and through the fire, it's because God wants to humble you. God wants to humble you. Because with pride, he can't really use you. But when he can break you and humble you, and you know that you're nothing but he's everything, then God has a vessel that he can use to bring glory and honor to his name. So God here telling him why it happened. Secondly, He says not only to humble you, but to test you. To test what? To test their hearts. To see if they really love God. And then thirdly, and to know what was really in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. The reason I did this is to see if you would live by the Word of God. Or if you're going to do your own thing. Notice that. I mean, it's amazing when God is working and He wants to continue to do the work. And sometimes when I'm going through something, you know, I try to figure it out, but I know that I can. And sometimes I don't even know why I'm going through it. But weeks later or months later, even sometimes years later, the Lord will reveal it to you. And you can see, wow, now I can see why I went through that. Because God wanted to get me from point A to point C and all the way to point G. But if He didn't do that, you would never go anywhere. God is molding you and shaping you into that vessel that He can use for His glory. That's what God wanted to do to the people of God. To use them. They were supposed to evangelize all of the heathens. They never did. And that's what the Church of Jesus Christ has been called. The Gentiles received the gospel. Once the Jew rejected the gospel was given to you and me so that we could become lights to the world. We can become salt to the earth, you see. And we can give not only our testimony, but as through our life of obedience and keeping our eyes on the Lord, then we can bring people to know Christ. But it's the whole time is the leading of the word of God. But it's really the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, you know, to bring people to Himself. And so here is the purpose why God led them through the wilderness. And then verse 3. And then so He humbled you and He allowed you to get hungry. But then what did He do? He fed you with manna from heaven, which you did not know. Nor did your fathers know, that He might make you to know that men shall not live by bread alone, but that men may live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And of course, Jesus, when He was being tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, remember, He came back with this scripture here from Deuteronomy 8:3. When Jesus was tempted by saying, "Hey, I know you're God, and so you can take that stone and you can turn it into bread." And then Jesus said, "Hey, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." You see? And here it is. Let me tell you that you and I cannot live apart from the word of God. Just like you have to partake of 3 meals a day, and some of you 5 meals a day, or more. All the snacks. We don't count those things, you know. But if we need that, you know, to survive or to live, can you imagine how more important it is to have the Word of God spiritually feeding upon my life? Daily, I have to feed upon the Word of God. First of all, it's going to make me grow and it's going to help me mature in the Lord. And it's going to give me wisdom and knowledge to the problems and situations that I'm facing today. But if you're not in the Word of God and you're not reading your Bible and you're not really taking time for the Lord, then when you are out there in the streets or on the job or at school, wherever it may be, and you're going to need wisdom or knowledge, you're not going to have it. You see? Because God will only bring back, like a computer, God will only bring back to your remembrance only those things that you study and that you read and that you memorize. You see? So if you never really go through the Old Testament, you're always in the New Testament, then you're not really going to know God in the Old Testament, how He refers in the Old Testament, making references to the New Testament when Jesus would come and He would become the Savior of the world. You see? We need to feed upon the Word of God. The Word of God has to be a priority in the life of the child of God. Daily. Every day you have to eat, spiritually speaking. Then in verse 4 he says, "Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. They wore the same shoes and the same clothes for 40 years. Imagine that. They washed their clothes, believe me. And so you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Now here God says, hey, I did not discipline you because I hated you. If God would have never disciplined his children to the wilderness, then God's love would have never been for them. I mean, you have a son or a daughter, and you're a parent, and your child is being disobedient. You don't let him get away with it. Why? Because he'll grow up to be not only a brat, but he'll get himself in trouble, not knowing right and wrong. He needs to know that you love him, and by me sitting down with my son or daughter and sharing with them what they've done wrong, and then disciplining them, I'm showing that I care for them and I love them. That's the way God works. If you were not a true son or daughter of God, then God would not discipline you. And he doesn't discipline like we earthly parents, when we're mad, discipline our children. God never does that. God always disciplines through love. Through love. He doesn't say, good opportunity. Now you're going to get what you deserve, you little rat. He doesn't say that. You see? That's what we say, you know? But his love is so tremendously, and of course that goes hand in hand with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 13. And then look what he says also, verse 6. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways and to fear him. Here's the main theme of Deuteronomy. To keep, to walk, and to fear. Those are the three things that God wants from each one of us. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land with brooks of water and fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and the hills. Oh, and if you haven't been to Israel, you need to go when you're with us. It is the most beautiful place in the world. You'll see this. A land of wheat and of barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, and the land of olive oil and honey. A land which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are of iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you. Now this was a problem because God desired what? That whenever you get blessed by the Lord, God wants thanksgiving from us. Not to forget how he's blessed us. Sometimes when people get so blessed by God, we've seen it over and over where they'll actually backslide and they'll go back into the world because now they have their trust on material things instead of the Lord, and they forget that the Lord is the one that gave to them and the Lord is the one that can take away from them. Look at the warning in verse 11 and 12 all the way down. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built all of your beautiful houses and you live in them, and when your herds and your flocks are multiplied and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage and who led you out through that great terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents, scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the rock and the flint, who led you or who fed you in the wilderness with manna, with your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end. Then you said, notice, and then you say in your heart, my power, my might, my hand has gained me all this wealth. Underline that. Because we need to give it to other people too that come around and say, look what I've built. No, sir. It's the Lord. God is the one that blows me away totally, the way He blesses people. And here God is saying, don't forget who gave it to you. Verse 18. And you shall remember. Notice the word remember over and over. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant with notice, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. And then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and you follow now other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish. Notice what God says here. The blessing will turn into a cursing when you forget the Lord your God. Notice what He says. As the nations, or the heathen nations, which the Lord destroyed before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. And there is the problem, not listening to God. Not being obedient to the word of God. May God tonight help us to really obey the voice of God and the word of God, so that God not only can continue to bless us in whatever way He wants to bless us, but that God may use my life to bring glory and honor to His holy name. And so that when people look at my life, they'll know that it's not me, but it's the Lord. It's the Lord that is doing, not only working in me, but He's working through my life. And as God blesses me materially, whatever it may be, hey, it's not mine. It's the Lord's. The Lord gave it to me. The Lord wants me to invest it. And as I invest it and prosper in that prosperity, then I'm going to give back to the Lord, because you cannot ever outgive God. Never. Never. And don't ever give in expectation to receive back. That's not the good way to give. Well, Lord, I'm going to give you a dollar to get 10 back. No, it doesn't work like that, you know. Or I'm going to give you my old car to get a new car. It doesn't work like that. So it's important that we understand what God is talking about. It has to be out of love, because I love Him. I give to Him. I love Him. I worship Him. I love Him. I study His word. I love Him. So I'm in church tonight because of His love. That's why I come, not because I have to come. And so here's chapter 9, continuing the exhortations. Then he says, "Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over this Jordan today. And you're going in to dispossess the nations greater and mightier than yourselves, cities greater and fortified up to heaven, and a people great and tall, giants, descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you heard of, said, 'Who can stand before the descendants of Anak, the giants?' Yet God says, 'Don't worry about it.' Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is He who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out to destroy them quickly. And the Lord has said to you." So here is what God expects them to do. What? To walk with God. You walk with me and I'll take care of you. You walk with me, you'll never starve. That's fellowship, communion with Him. "Do not think in your heart, after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, 'Because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in this,' notice, in this, to possess this land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you." God is going to use them. It's not because they were a nice people or a right people, not because of my self-righteousness, but because of Him. God was going to use the people of God to destroy His enemy. "It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess this land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, that the Lord your God drives them out before you, and that He may fulfill the word which He spoke to the Lord, swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I am doing it because I made a promise to your fathers, and I'm keeping my word, and I'm fulfilling it through you. Therefore, Understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess it because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. Also at Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath so that the Lord was angry enough with you to have you destroyed you. And yet, the patience, the long-suffering, the love of God, not only for them, but for every one of us. You see, God doesn't love you because you're naughty or nice or because you're doing a bunch of good deeds. He loves you because His love is pure. That's why He loves you. Not for what you do or what you're going to do, but because of the love that He has and the compassion that He has towards you and I. And that's the reason that Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross so that you and I would receive that love. And that love would be given to somebody else. That's what God desires from each one of us here tonight. And then He says this to them in verse 9. When I went up into the mountain to receive the tables of stone, speaking out of the Ten Commandments, the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, a miracle. And I neither ate bread nor drank any water. Then the Lord delivered to me the two tables of stone written with the finger of God. And on them were all the words which the Lord God has spoken in the mountain from the midst of the fire in that day of assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days, 40 nights, that the Lord gave me two tables of stone and the tables of the covenant. And then the Lord said to me, arise, go down quickly from here. So as Moses is receiving, he's rehearsing their history, just to remind them how wicked they were. As I was with God, what were you doing? Instead of praying and waiting upon God, you were playing, or literally they were lusting and they were having an orgy in the camp. And God told Moses, you better get down because you're the leader. The people are all messed up. Look what he says. Then the Lord said to me, arise and go down quickly from here. For your people whom you brought out. Notice how God says, your people, Moses, not my people. Pretty good to hear God. For your people whom you brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly. And they have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. And they have made themselves a molten image, a golden calf. Further, the Lord spoke to me saying, I have seen these people and indeed they are a stiff-necked people. Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of you a new nation, mightier and greater than they. Can you imagine God was going to wipe out everybody like in the days of Noah? And said, Moses, let me start you out brand new. But you remember what he did in Exodus? Moses immediately said, Lord, don't do that. Why don't you go ahead and wipe me out and take my name out of the book of life? I am willing to die for these people. Paul said the same thing in the book of Romans, chapter 11. That he was willing to lose himself and go to hell for the nation of Israel. I don't know if I could say that. But Paul said it. And so did Moses. And they said, Lord, let me be damned, but let these people live. And here Moses is demonstrating the heart of God to the people of God as he speaks to God. So notice again that he says, in verse 16 he said, and said, then I looked, and there you had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made for yourselves all these molten calves. He says, you had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord commanded you. Then I took the two tables of stone. I threw them down with my two hands and broke them before your eyes. And then I fell down before the Lord as first 40 days and 40 nights. And I neither ate nor drank nor ate any bread because of all your sin which you have committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord. Notice God sees it. God saw it to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure which the Lord was angry with you to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me at that time also. He interceded for the people of God. Lord, I love these people. I don't want you to destroy them. And God heard his prayer. Look, verse 20. And then the Lord was very angry with Aaron, my brother, and would have destroyed him. And so I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. So Moses is an intercessor, a type of Christ. And then I took your sin, the calf which you had made, and I burned it in the fire. I crushed it. I grounded it very small until it was very fine as dust. And then I threw the dust into it and the brook and descended from the mountain. I also at Taberah and Massah and Kibron Habadah, you provoked the Lord to anger. That is places where they were tempting God constantly, murmuring, complaining, unbelief. He mentions to them everything they did against God. Likewise, when the Lord set you on Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given to you, then you rebel against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you did not believe him nor obey his voice. You remember the 12 spies? They went into the land. They came back with great clusters of grapes, and they said, the land is a beautiful land. No, they didn't say that. It was only two of them, Caleb and Joshua. The other 10 murmured and complained and said, hey, there's giants in the land. We'll get wiped out. And what did God do? God wiped out the 10 and he only kept the 2. Because they were men of faith. Because they said, hey, Lord. He said, Moses, we can go in and we can take the giants and we can take the land because God is with us. How great it is to have men of faith. That they're not going to back out. They're not going to murmur and complain, but they're going to stand strong with you and say, hey, man, let's go together. Let's take them on. We don't have to be afraid. The Lord is with us. That's what they did. Verse 25, and thus I prostrated myself before the Lord in prayer. 40 days, 40 nights I kept prostrating myself because the Lord had said he would destroy you. And here it is. Therefore, I, Moses, prayed to the Lord and said, and here is his prayer. O Lord God, if you want to learn how to pray, study the prayers of the Old Testament. As many as you can also in the New Testament. O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your inheritance whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember, O Lord, your servants, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. What is he doing? He's reminding him of his covenant that he made with Abraham and with Jacob and Isaac. He says, do not look on the stubbornness of these people and on their wickedness or their sin. Lest the land from which you brought us out, and they should say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to kill them in the wilderness. Lord, if you destroy these people, the heathens are going to mock you, and they're going to say this, you only brought them out, your people, to kill them. Yet they are your people. Now he tells them back to God, your people, God, not my people. Yet they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out by your mighty power and by your outstretched arm. So he's reminding God in that prayer what he does. He continues chapter 10. And then at that time, the Lord said to me, cut out for yourself 2 tables of stones, like the first one, and come up to me on the mountain and make yourself an ark of wood. Now, again, when those 10 commandments were destroyed by Moses, remember he threw them down. You watch the 10 commandments and he tore it into little pieces. He went ahead and did another set of commandments, which were not really written, you know, by the hand of God. But Moses literally took and actually wrote down the commandments that God had given to him. So here it is now. He says, and I will write on the tables the words that were on the first table when you broke. And so God says, and you shall put them on the ark. What's the ark? The ark of the covenant. Inside of the ark of the covenant where God's presence dwells and the 2 cherubims were facing each other. To remind them of what? The law of God. And so I made an ark of acacia wood. I cut out 2 tables of stone like the first, and went up to the mountain having the 2 tables in my hand. And then he wrote on the tables according to the first writing, the 10 commandments which the Lord has spoken to you in the mountain from the middle of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them to me. And then I turned and I came down from the mountain, and I put the tables of the ark in which I had made. And then they are there just as the Lord commanded me. And now the children of Israel journeyed from wells of Bene-Jaakan to Marazah, that was the place where Aaron died later and where he was buried. And Eleazar, his son, ministered as the priest in his stead. For there he journeyed, and he talks about this place. If you can mention it, go for it. I'm not going to mention them. Verse 8. And at that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark and the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister to him and to bless his name all this day. The Levites were the priests. They were the ones called to worship and to prepare the people in worship and singing and get them ready to hear the word of God. Therefore the Levite had no portion of inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God promised him. And then as the first time I stayed in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord also heard me at that time, and the Lord chose not to destroy you. And then the Lord said to me, arise, begin now your journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. So he gives the command now to go ahead and begin to journey into the promised land. And then notice here, these initial questions that he's asking them. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Now, that's a good question. What does God require of his people? And of course, we would have a lot of answers. But here's what God desires. Literally, there are about five things here. Number one, to fear the Lord your God. Number one, to fear the Lord your God. Number two, to walk in all his ways. And three, to love him. Four, to serve him. Notice, with all your heart, with all your soul. And then fifthly, to keep his commandments of the Lord as his statutes, which I command you today for your good. For your good. If you don't fear the Lord, if you don't walk, if you don't love, if you don't serve, if you don't keep, then how can you have good in the Lord? You can't. So here he's sharing with them. Indeed, heaven and the high heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delights only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them. Notice, you above all people are this day. So God chose the Jew, not only for himself, but they were to be what? They were to go out, and they were to share the gospel with people about the greatness of God and lead people to Jehovah God, and yet they missed the mark. And so then the Gentiles came along. There it is again, verse 16. Therefore, circumcise the foreskins of your hearts. Notice, that's the cutting away of what? Of the flesh. The flesh life. Get rid of your old man. Get rid of the flesh. He says, and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is a God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. Notice that. God is not a respecter of persons. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings, and he will not be a person of partiality. So here God again, through Moses, is calling the people of God to worship. And then he administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. So notice how God takes care of the poor too. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Don't forget where you came from, he says. Make sure you're not greedy, but you're giving. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you great things and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Like coming out of Egypt, coming through what? Through the Red Sea on dry ground, getting manna, getting meat. watching the rock bring forth water, and then God taking care of all their enemies and bringing them to the promised land and then taking them into the promised land. Everything that God says, He will fulfill if we are obedient to the word of God. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 people. Notice that. And now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. From 70 people to 3 million people. Can you imagine that? 70 people to 3 million by the time they crossed into the Red Sea, until they came to the promised land. So as we look at all these lessons in the Old Testament, you know, just briefly, we can learn from the law of God and the people of God how we too need to obey and to serve and to fear God. And as you obey, and as you love, and as you keep His word as He's given to us, each one of us individually, what's going to happen? Good will be added to your lives. God will bless you. And God will use your life to bring glory and honor to His holy name. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, to thank you, to praise you, to worship you. And Lord, to ask you through all these examples, Father, and illustrations in the Word of God, Father, that you would teach us, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us into all truth. And Lord, we do pray that you would be with anyone here tonight that is not a Christian. Father, for any of those people that are here visiting for the first time, or someone has invited them or brought them here, Lord, if you're sitting here tonight and you don't know the Lord, you can be young, you can be old, you can be male or female, it doesn't matter who you are. And it doesn't matter what you've done concerning sin, because God has brought you here by His divine appointment, through His love and through His grace and through His mercies, because He brought you here tonight so that you would come to repentance. And if you want to come to repentance and you want to confess your sins to God, then He'll receive you, He'll forgive you, He'll cleanse you, He'll wash you by His precious blood, and you can become a Christian. And you can go home tonight with the assurance of eternal life, that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven. That's what Jesus Christ will give to you.